Right, the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know you say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I give a small title to what we're going to discuss today, and I called it Thanksgiving for Difficult Times, and then Prophetic Declarations for Tomorrow. And we're going to use two portions of the scriptures for that. Habakkuk chapter 3, we're going to read that. Maybe we should start from there, and then open your Bibles also to the book of Isaiah chapter 49. Now, so you are going to leave your Bibles open to Isaiah chapter 49. That's what we're going to use mostly today for our prophetic declarations. But I want to just explain a principle to us again. And for that, let's begin from that Habakkuk chapter. There's a principle here. And I'd like to go over something I said again before. I said it before, let's say it again. Just read this time around from verse 17. Where I really want to read from 17 down to 19, but I just want to explain something. If you read from verse 16 and the preceding verses, and this is very common amongst the prophets that you find Isaiah down to Malachi. You see, a lot of them, quite a number of them prophesied destruction. Do you understand? A lot of them prophesied judgment. I was sharing with my wife yesterday as we were discussing the issue of Joel chapter 2. You know, in the book of Joel chapter 2, you see Christians often quote that as if referring to the army of God for exploits. And the principles there can be applied. But if you look at it, Joel wasn't talking about that. He was talking about destruction and judgment, invading army of God. Mostly, I think the locals was talking about. But the armies that were going to come to judge the land. It was very, very common amongst the prophets. And that's the same thing you are seeing here in the book of Habakkuk. And for that reason, he said, let's read from verse 16, because my Bible puts that in a segment, 16 to 19. But what I want is from 17. He said, I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones and in my place I trembled, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. That's what I was referring to. Joel also talked about that day of distress in that Joel chapter 2. For the people to arise who will invade us. Now, listen. Here he's describing the situation of life that he was about to face. And I will teach slightly to help us understand what we are saying boldly and clearly, so we can declare boldly. Now, he was about to step into distress, and we'll see, as I will explain the principle to us again, early this morning, my wife and I were discussing, and we're sharing the word of God, and I explained the difference between afflictions and cross, alright, that we're talking about cross. Every Christian has a cross, and I explained that the cross of a Christian is not the difficulties of life, but the cross of a believer is the sacrifices he makes so as to make his life a blessing to other people. Are you getting the point? All right, that is when you take up difficulties you experience difficulties because you are walking, you are making your life, like Paul said, a drink offering. Your life is being poured out as a drink offering. That's a cross. But our Christians also go through afflictions. And if you remember, we discussed on Saturday and on last Tuesday that, as well as this last Saturday, I explained the fact that afflictions is like a barometer that God leaves and uses the opportunity that if Abraham had had a child, God would have nothing really to use to call him at that point in time. So when Abraham didn't have a child, God used that as an opportunity to speak to the man. Therefore, afflictions are like that in our lives also a lot of times. Now, the afflictions don't mean that God caused them, but they can be used as a barometer, because what God is doing is that he said to Abraham, walk with me, and then I'll make nations out of you. And until Isaac is born, Abraham was supposed to continue walking with God. And that the birth of Isaac was a sign that Abraham had reached a particular level of fulfillment. And I said that in the afflictions of the life of a believer, the same thing occurs. Now, that we read from Psalm 63, that David said that even when I am in a difficult place, I'm in a dry land, you know, I will still seek God. You know, that's what he said. He said, I will still seek God even though I'm in a dry place. He said, I will seek thee in a dry place, in a dry land where there's no water, where normal people should be seeking water. I will be seeking the Lord. Do you understand my point? Now, what I meant from what we explained is that we are not, as believers, supposed to be seeking solutions primarily to our problems, but see them as the avenue by which God has now drawn our attention. So we keep seeking the face of God. And like I was sharing with my wife this morning, eventually they will come. You'll find out that the problems have vanished. It is not because you were knocking at them, but because you were focusing on seeking the face of God, and when you discover His face, His very presence will repel darkness out of your life. Are you getting the point? Now, so we explain that, therefore, Christians must not go around grumbling about problems in life. No, we must know the attitude that God wants us to have concerning these afflictions. So, Habakkuk was explaining here. He said, I heard and my inward parts trembled, and the sound, and at the sound my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. For the people to arise who will invade us. He now said, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruits on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt or rejoice or lift myself up in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Why? Because the Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and He makes me walk on my high places. Now, this is the attitude of believers. Do you get my point? Paul wrote, he said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice to the Philippians. That is, rejoicing is a commandment for Christians, even in the time of their afflictions. Are you getting the point I'm making? We must never forget that. The rejoicing is a commandment for Christians. I taught a message then, which I call the spirit of thanksgiving. And let me refer to it again. Quickly open your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter... That's a Job. Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. We know the story in Jonah chapter 1. How Jonah found himself running away from the presence of God. And then he caused problems for the sheep. And then they threw him into the sheep as a solution to their problems. And then the Bible said in verse 1, if you read the end of chapter 1, verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, if you read between verses 16 and 17, between verse 15 and verse 17, what really happened to Jonah was not discussed at this point. We know that Jonah was thrown into the sea. And then in verse 17, God appointed a fish to swallow Jonah. Now, I want to explain something to you, which I said then. Please go and get the message. I don't have time to explain that in details. What happened here was that after Jonah was thrown into the sea, he began to pray. The fish was not waiting for Jonah. I hope you get my point. Don't think that God did not intend for Jonah to drown. Jonah was going to drown and die. I hope you get my point. Jonah was supposed to drown, all right, inside that water. He was supposed to die. I hope you get what I'm saying. But then what happened? Jonah, realizing that he was about to die, he began to pray. And when he prayed, God now sent a fish to go and deliver him from his troubles. So in verse 1, Jonah now began, the account of what happened to Jonah was now given. Then Jonah began to pray to God from the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out. He said, I called out of my distress to the Lord. And he answered me. And this was a prayer he prayed from the stomach of the fish. That is, before now I called. And what I'm saying is that what happened was that my being in the stomach of the fish is an answer to a prayer. I cried for help from the depths of Sheol. That is, I sunk into the depths of the earth. That's what he was saying. But God said, thou didst hear me. For thou didst had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. This was what happened as he was entering into the waters and going up and going down. So that's what he was describing. And all thy breakers and billows passed over me. That's what I was in the waters. So I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. Are you getting what he's saying here? And that's what happened to Jonah between verses 15 and 17 of Jonah chapter 1. So Jonah kept on saying all of this. And then, what was he doing? He was now giving God thanks. Let's just rush down. He said, while I was fainting away, as I was beginning to drown, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee, into thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation, he said, is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Please don't forget, in that message, I explained the spirit of thanksgiving. You see, life goes through different stages. There was a stage in which Jonah was in distress, and in that one, he cried out. And God brought him out stage one, out of distress, but not into an open place. Are you getting my point? He was not going to drown anymore, but he was still in the stomach of the fish. It's not a nice place to be, all right, for 3 days and three nights. But what happened was the man, while he was there, he said, I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will repay. What's the point here? Even though he had not fully experienced deliverance, but he still realized that he was supposed to give God thanks in the midst of the first stage of his deliverance. Are you getting my point? That is, he was supposed to give God thanks. He was going for something, full deliverance. When he was about to drown, he cried out to God, and God gave him stage one deliverance. It's not full deliverance. He has, at least he's no longer in the critical stage of about to die. Alright? But he was not fully delivered yet. And what am I explaining? Every one of us will pass through this stage. Most of us are in this particular stage. We are not where we would like to be, but at least we're not drowning currently. And the attitude of a lot of people is that they start complaining, they start grumbling, they start whining, and that way the fish never vomits them out of his stomach onto dry land because of constant grumbling, not recognizing what God has done already. Are you getting my point? So, now, what we are going to do today is, number one, we are going to give God thanks despite and because of the current situations in our lives. These are Christian habits. He said, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. My wife and I, we play in the house. Like, I just say, okay, what if somebody just, God just say, okay, I sent someone to go and dash you $1 million. What are you going to do? So I told my wife, if I won't tell her what I told her yesterday, if that God was to do something like that, no matter how spiritual you are, you probably won't sleep for 2 days. You have never seen that amount of money before. Because you were afraid that if you sleep now, it might turn out to be a dream. Now that you are awake, let's keep the dream alive. You know that kind of thing. Now what am I saying? The Bible says that I rejoice at thy word as him that finds such an amount of money. Are you getting my point? Yes, the word of God should keep us joyful, bubbling, being happy. Or I want to focus on our problems. That's it. The fish will just carry us like that. And after a while, if you stay there for 4 days, you start getting digested. Do you follow my point? And like I say all the time, there are many Christians that God delivered halfway. Eventually, the fish digested them. Yeah. That one I have noticed. I've been studying the word of God for a very long time. For a very long time. An active study of God's word. This year makes it 23 years. That is actively studying. I started in 87. Alright? That's when I started. I remember very well. Remember the first materials I read. Alright? No, actually I started reading in 86, but 87 was when I encountered brethren that had books and materials around them. And since then, I have been constantly reading the word of God for all these years. And I have noticed, alright? Watching the Christian walk. See, God doesn't disappoint people. Many people, you think that God is disappointed. They were the ones that disappointed God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Moses did not enter the promised land. Not because God was very, very, very wicked. But because God looked and said, Moses, now what? Anyway, you can't enter. What am I saying? Sometimes you see people walking with God. Something now goes wrong. So what happens a lot of times? Now, there are different things that will happen. Different things. One of them is the Jonah is delivered halfway. He now sits down and says, God, for all the cry where I cry, this is the only way you could get me. Do you follow my point? After all this crying. I mean, there were people that, they were sinners. They could have killed them the day before. They didn't. They could have left their dead the following day. They didn't leave the day. They left them to die on the same day as Jesus Christ. There was a reason. Use the opportunity to repent and confess your sins even on the cross. One of them, what was he doing? He was whining and complaining. He said, look, this is Christmas. You said he deliver people. Why can't he deliver us now? And the other one said, my friend, will you keep your mouth quiet? You are a sinner. You are dying for your sin. This man has not done anything. Now I come beg. He said, please, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And Jesus said, you are a saved man already. You may die physically, but you shall live again. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Instead of the man to use the opportunity, at least, Father, I thank you. I know I'm sentenced to death and I'm dying. But at least I'm down the same day as Jesus Christ. Let me just shake his hand so that we can move together. He started whining. Listen, there are opportunities everywhere. I'm telling you. That was opportunity for forgiveness. Opportunity for eternal salvation. You know what the man did? He threw away the opportunity. He started whining. Do you get my point? And that's what a lot of people do. You see, so I say, but this man was walking with God, was believing God. Why did things now turn wrongly for him? You don't know. One of the problems I have found out is because of this principle. A lot of people don't, there is this general principle, they don't start thanking God. And listen, this is not be play. If Jonah did not pray that prayer, he would have drowned. When he got into the belly of the fish, if he did not start rejoicing and giving thanks, he would have been digested after a while. Do you get my point? A lot of believers don't do this. Please get that message if you don't have it. The spirit of thanksgiving. All right? I explained this in details. I don't want to go over that again. But I just want to bring out the issue here. That Jonah was delivered in stages. The first stage of delivery, he cried out to God. All right? Of deliverance. He cried out to God. And God brought him out into that first stage. Then the next thing was to start acknowledging God and thanking him for the situation that he was in at that time, though he had not reached exactly where he wanted to get to. And I'm persuaded that it's the operation of that principle that brought him out, that tickled the stomach of the fish, that gave the fish indigestion. If Jonah had sat down there grumbling and whining, after a while, the fish would have started digesting him. And you'll have heard the story of one man who cried to God and the fishes digested him. Many of us, we have to be careful that life does not digest us. I'm telling you, if you complain too much, you will be digested. Yes, people have been digested every day. He doesn't have a job yet, so he prayed, and then one day, God opens a small door. I know you have a friend that's earning 200,000 naira a month, but God opens a door for you, say, you manage the 25K first. He said, after all, are those any half a million better than me? Because if the first month on that job, they sack you on top of it. It's digestion. I mean, instead of waking up and saying, Father, I thank you, at least now I have a place to go to in the morning. The Bible says that, Paul was explaining that, look, every man should walk so that he will get some money to be able to be a blessing to other people. He said, God, this money may not be plenty. At least with this one, I can bless somebody's life. My cousin can phone me now and say, Uncle, things rough. And I send him 500 naira, 1,000 naira. Father, I thank you. But no, it's not looking like that. Say, God, when I was praying, this was not what we asked for. We asked for this other one. But God said, but at least the fish has swallowed you now. You're on your way to the shore. But the man is there whining and complaining and grumbling. So what does God do? He said, okay, digest him. And that's it. You're getting the principle. All right, so we're not here to talk plenty today. We're here to use what we have already learned. So, all right, we are going to do what we did last time. We are going to rise to our feet. And we are going to begin to give God thanks. What did I say? Hey, let's rise to our feet now. How about waiting? Why are you doing like I wasn't talking to you? So, we are going to start. I think you should open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 45, right? Yeah, so we are going to start from there. We are going to use that one mostly today. But let's start from Psalm 103. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, there was something we did last time. I want to do it again. You know, I said something to us before that, the best words to use in prayer, all right, is the ones that are already recorded in the Bible. They are fantastic. Is that okay? They give you guides and they give you literal words to use in prayer. I'm going to start, let's read from Psalm 103. We'll read it together like we did last time. And then after that, we are going to begin to pray. All right? And I said we are doing two things. We are giving God thanks for difficult times. And after that, we'll issue forth prophetic utterances. Because what's happening actually is that you are going to the shore. Did I hear an amen? Amen. I know we are all talking today. Don't forget, we are in this fraternity of Christ. Can you remember? If you're a cult member, say amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Yes, and I said we eat sacrifices. Don't we eat sacrifices? Yeah, we do. All right? We do. Jesus said, yeah, if you don't eat my blood, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't know me yet. You are not in my cult. We have eaten the sacrifice, the main sacrifice, which is the faith, which is by our faith in Christ Jesus. We have eaten his flesh and we have drunk his blood. And we keep offering sacrifice. And I said before, when you offer sacrifices, all right, that are acceptable to God, go and check the Old Testament. Most of those animals that were sacrificed were eaten by the priests. So when you are giving thanksgiving, when you are offering up thanksgiving to God, what you are doing is that you are eating your own sacrifices. No, we said that before. And after that, we begin to use what? What's the word? Our incantations, all right? The Bible, the proper Christian word is prophecies. Prophecies, prophetic utterances. All right, we describe the shore that the fish is going to release us into. Are you getting my point? By prophetic utterances, we describe the shore. Right now, we may not be there yet, okay? But we know we are going somewhere. These things, the Bible said, they were recorded for our learning. 3 days and three nights. That was where, that was the period that Jonah spent in the belly of the fish. How many days? 3 days and three nights. That is, he was there essentially for a long time. That's where we'll put it. 3 days and three nights. But this was after he had asked for deliverance. If you have ever asked God for greatness, for breakthrough, for great things in life, say amen. Yes, so he has brought, God always answers prayers. I said it before, God always answers prayers. The problem is that people don't know how he does it. So a man prays for something. Do you get my point? And then he doesn't receive it fully yet. So he thinks that God has not yet answered. I said it's not everything that, go and read the Bible. The Bible says very clearly that God did something and it was good. He created this, created and said it was good. But so we automatically assume that everything that God did was good from the beginning. But it's not so. At the point in time, God looked at his own work and said, this one is not good. Where did he say so? He looked at Adam and said, it is not good that this man is alone. But who made him alone? He made the light, he said it is good. He made the sun, the stars, he said it is good. He made the grass, it is good. He made the firmament, everything separate, he said it is good. Then he finished making the man and said, it is not good that I made him alone. I mean, he made it, he declared it was not good. And then now, let us perfect that which we started. Therefore, I will make him a helpmate that is suitable for him. He now caused the man to stay. What am I saying? The perfection that God is bringing into your life can come also in stages. Do you get my point? Yes, he brings you out in stages. So Adam wake up and say, even ordinary goat get meat. Ordinary goat. Chimpanzee get meat. What is God doing? Wine. I mean, look, you just have to be alone for 3 days and three nights. That's what God is saying. The last day, I will now cause a deep sleep to fall upon you, and then I will now make a help suitable. But what we like to do is to whine and complain. Say, hey, God, come, let us see you. Today, I saw ordinary birds flying, and they were flying in pairs. How did you make me alone? What did they do yourself? Do you get my point? So you have a lot to thank God for. Is that here an amen? Amen? God is taking you to a particular place. We know we are going somewhere perfect. The Bible says that the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Do you get my point? You are getting closer. In fact, one of the reasons why the fish probably took 3 days was, you know, to swim to the shore, it go far. If you grumble, the guy will miss road. Alright? But when you give thanks all the time, the guy is on course. Alright? To bring you to that shore. Please, you will not be digested in the name of Jesus Christ. And the reason why you won't be digested is because your thanksgiving will stimulate the stomach of the fish. You have no choice but to head for the shore and vomit you onto the promised land that God has promised you. Are you getting my point? So while you're in the bottom, in the belly of the fish, what you do is you are declaring concerning that shore. And there's one song we used to sing when we were young, that there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. Can you remember that song? Oh, that's how you know when you were born. If you were born before 1985, you don't bother putting up your hands. But all of you born after 85, you won't know those songs. You know the song? There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way. I can't remember the final words. To prepare us a dwelling place there, we shall meet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. You see what I'm saying? If you can see it by faith, say amen. A good land that you are going to, which you have not. I mean, you have been the series of life, all right? The problems of life that seem to disturb you small is just that you are swimming in the belly of the fish. Don't worry. It will soon throw you onto the good land, onto that shore. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. All right. I say, Bible says, Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Everybody, I'll read one verse and you read it with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Repeat that verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none
of his benefits. He said, who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Let's turn it around. Who redeems my life from the pit? Who crowns me with loving kindness and compassion?
Who
satisfies my mouth with good things?
So that my youth is renewed like the eagle.
Say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let's start therefore. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks in our own words. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you because you have caused me to know you. Because that's the most important thing. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. Say, Lord, thank you because you have caused me to know you. Thank you because I have received eternal life. Thank you because by faith in Christ Jesus I have been redeemed. Say, thank you, Father, because you have delivered me from the kingdom of darkness and you have put me into the kingdom of your own dear Son, in whom I have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for you have pardoned all my iniquities. Say, Lord, I thank you because you have healed all my diseases. He said, thank you because you have redeemed my life from the pit. Don't forget, it is your thanksgiving that is stimulating the situations of life to move you onto the shore that God planned for you. Don't forget that spirit of Jonah we've talked about. The spirit of thanksgiving. That is, yes, I may not be where I'm supposed to be yet, but at least I know I am going to the shore. Say, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Because of the good things I can identify. I don't have a job yet. Lord, I thank you because at least I'm a candidate for looking for a job. Oh, no, I don't have a wife yet. I don't have a husband yet. I don't have this one yet. At least I thank you. I'm a candidate to think about such things. Lord, I give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I want to do my postgraduate. Father, I thank you. But at least a man that wants to do postgraduate, it means he did first graduate. If you understand what I'm saying. He has done the first one. So, Lord, I thank you for the first one that I have. I thank you that I did not drown. I thank you that when life threw me into the depth, I did not drown. I called out to you and you have brought me up to this level. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ because I did not drown. I may not be where I want to be yet, but at least I'm not where I used to be. I thank you because information that I know you, God, is the all that I want. This is eternal life, Jesus said, that they may know you, the true God. That is eternal life. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have eternal life. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have eternal life. Give thanks for his word that he has caused you to understand. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm not walking in darkness. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm not walking in darkness. But I'm walking in the light of the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, death cannot hold me down. In the name of Jesus Christ, death cannot hold me down. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, I want to open your Bible, like I said, to the book of Isaiah chapter 49. Let us look at something there together. I've read from here, if you have been coming on Saturdays, we looked at this scripture, and it's such a beautiful one. Isaiah was speaking prophetically. And this, for me, it was such a powerful, powerful word the first time I heard it. When I read this scripture. He said, listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. He also has made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. Now, I want you to understand something here. From verses 1 and 2, he was describing a situation in which somebody is being prepared by God. I had my own personal experience with this. You've been prepared by God. You are so sure that God wants to do something great, all right, with your life. All right, now in the last line of verse 2, he has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, this is part of my preparation, all right? When God was creating me and shaping me and making me into something, he said, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will show my glory. And this is what happens to most of us as believers. You go to places, you go to church, you read a book, and such a strong word is released concerning your life. Are you getting the point? Yeah, such a strong word is released concerning your life. And, you know, God says that, yeah, you are going to be something great. So you hear powerful words. Do you get my point? And then there are times you have tried to take steps. Maybe you attended a seminar talking about entrepreneurship and powered by something. This one was powered by the Spirit of God. And then you got up to start business. The first $10,000 you put down, you saw it last after 2 weeks. You don't know where it went. All you know is that before you tried, you had 10,000. Now you don't have anything again. You're just on your own. And that's what he meant. He said, verse 4.
When after God said by those prophetic words that you are my servant, O Emeka, you are my servant, O Banking, you are my servant, O Uforma, you are my servant, O James, whatever your name is, in whom I will show my glory. Then after you lost your money, you came back in verse 4 and said, look at it, verse 4. But I said, I have toiled in vain.